All right, Mason in Ireland. We're in here talking to recently married Carlos Sisu, who got married a couple weeks ago. And it's still going strong, Ramona. 2 weeks Carlo's been married, and he's still happy. But you and I are good examples of we married up. We're happy with married life. Yeah. A lot of people aren't. We are. Now, I've been talking about, and Greg, you got to track down Michael. Do you got him? Okay. Yeah, but he's probably out on a surfboard somewhere. But Michael has sent me 26 videos of what's happening over on Maui.
Amazing.
And it's basically every time something, and the guys that are over there are people you haven't seen or thought about. You know, Jim Jones is over there. Chuck Nevitt is over there. You know, it's guys that were like role players, and there's probably, I don't know, maybe 30 people. All the wives are there. Last night, they flew Jeffrey Osborne in to do a concert for him. Jeffrey Osborne
he's
was
the
like
guy, yeah.
50-1 singing the national anthem for those Lakers Showtime teams. So at some point we will track down Michael and visit with him about how that's going over there in Hawaii. In the meantime, Momo, there is plenty of other stuff going on, Laker-related stuff. And I laughed because I looked at a list of people that have yet to sign. So listen to who's still out there, free agency-wise. Miles Bridges, he has legal problems. But
yeah, I don't think he's going to get a job.
Yeah, he's the best player available. Dennis Schroeder, who we talked about.
Yep.
Eric Bledsoe, not terrible.
Yeah.
Hassan Whiteside, good shot blocker.
Yep.
Rodney Hood, good three-point shooter.
Good player.
Carmelo.
Yep.
Not terrible. Rajon Rondo. Dwight Howard, Elfrid Payton, Paul Millsap, Blake Griffin, Tristan Thompson, Svi Mykhailiuk.
Wow, Svi.
So all these dudes are out there waiting for someone to call them and bring them into camp, and camp starts in 2 weeks. Why do you think there's so many good players still available?
Well, most of the guys that you read on that list are pretty old, and they're used to making more money. There's they're going to be minimum guys. So there's an adjustment period there. Plus, I think a lot of times when you start off camp, you're just sort of waiting for people to get hurt. Like, you're waiting for things to shake out. There's a few little trades and cuts and things that need to happen. So you're just kind of waiting for those last few jobs to open up. And a couple of the ones you mentioned are like Dwight, Whiteside, those guys. I think they're right. That's a position that's not of need. Like, DeAndre Jordan's still available, too. I think he's still on the list. The younger guys, I think, get the jobs first. The older ones, it's just got to be the right situation. Millsap wasn't great last year. Blake Griffin can still contribute, but he's getting older. Same thing with Dwight. Like, it's just a specialized role that they're going to be in.
The other thing that I noticed that came up the other day is people are starting to talk more about this mid-season tournament that won't happen this year, but it could happen next year. And Jeannie Buss has been doing some interviews. She's at the governor's meetings. So here's what Jeannie said when she was asked about a possible in-season tournament. She says, I wish there were more trophies to give out. So now we're talking about an in-season tournament where we have a championship inside the championship year. What I like to see is more winning, more opportunities, more European football. What do you know about the in-season tournament? Likely or unlikely?
Likely, and it's just a question of what it's going to look like. It's going to be one game, five games, three games. Like, you know, it's just the shape of it that's to be determined.
Okay, and we'll get back to that in a second, but now we have tracked down the one and only.
Hey.
Michael Thompson, who is living the high life on Maui. MT, I remember when you said you didn't want to go, and every time I get a video from you, I get the sense that you're really happy you're there. Am I right?
Aloha and mahalo. I think I'm learning how to speak Hawaiian. Yeah, it's great to be here, man. I didn't want to come because, you know me, I hate to travel. Once the season's over, I just like to stay in one place. But it's definitely worth the effort to come out here, see the old guys, talk about the old times, talk about how great we used to be, Ramona, how great we think we still are. And just to see everybody, it just really makes you appreciate. We all treasured our time together with Showtime and putting on that Laker uniform. But when you see your old teammates and your old peers again, you know, just very emotional. We all have families, of course, immediate families, but this is another version of family, and to be able to get together and share these times again, it's really special. Like, we're all older now. We're in our 60s, 70s, some of us. So, yeah, life goes by fast. Your career goes by in the blink of an eye, it feels like. So any chance we need to get to have a chance to get together and see each other, we need to start doing that now, because you see, we're getting older and you can't take anything for granted anymore.
So I saw some videos floating around of a practice or a walkthrough that happened the other day.
They got you on the court, Michael?
The key word that Ramona said there was walk. Walk through. Yeah, they got us on the court just to go through dummy drills, dummy plays, really, at a very slow speed. You didn't have to adjust your camera if you were watching that, because it was an actual speed. It wasn't slow motion. It was actual speed we were going.
So I saw Coop made a shot. Was Riles intense? Like, I can't picture Riles anything but intense.
Oh, yeah, he was very intense, as usual, laughing at us, of course, like everybody else. But he wanted to keep the practice going longer, and being the typical Riles, and Magic said, nope, that's it. We're done.
Michael, who's the guy or guys that you were the most surprised to see at this reunion?
Let's see. Obviously, we expected all the Hall of Famers to be here. We all know who they are, of course. Worthy, Magic, Kareem, of course. Coop will be in the Hall of Fame next year, I believe. Byron, of course, we expected to come. Rambis, we knew was going to be here because Linda helped put this all together, of course. But then, of course, all these scrubs that helped just carry the bags of all the superstars. Those are the guys I was happy to see. People like Clay Johnson that a lot of people have forgotten about. Clay Johnson, of course, he was with the Showtime Lakers for a minute. Billy Thompson, no relation, but he was here. Who's a big-time minister in Florida now. Larry Spriggs is here. Obviously, Bob McAdoo, another Hall of Famer, is here. Jim Brewer is here. So it's good to see those type of guys who, because we all think of the Showtime, we think of the superstar guys, along with Kurt Rambis and AC Green. Those are the main guys. But on the periphery, guys on the periphery like me and the rest of the guys, those are the guys who really enjoyed seeing, that who are not around Crypto.com arena a lot.
So, Michael, when I have this theory that Facebook has sort of killed the high school reunion, because the reason you go to the reunion is you want to find out what everyone became and what nerd became really successful and what hot girl got ugly and, you know, whatever it is. But you guys are probably not, like, catching up on Facebook. I bet there were some surprises with certain people that you played with and what they did with their lives. Like, who has an interesting life now that people may not know about?
I don't know. There's really nobody, because like you said, even though we don't see guys, we can find our guys through social media, texting, whatever, because we can hear from certain guys, so what's so-and-so doing. So we kind of knew what Jim Jones was doing. He was one of the radio voices of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Larry Spriggs, the guys were keeping up with him.
What's
so we kind of knew Bob McAdoo, of course, we knew he was with the Miami Heat for a long time. So even though we hadn't seen each other in years, now with technology and the way to communicate with each other and get access to each other, we weren't really surprised to see that some guy was doing something that we had never heard of before. So those kind of days, Ramona, like you said, are over with because of technology.
Michael Thompson's with us. He's in Maui at the Lakers Showtime reunion, which just looks like an absolute blast. Michael's been sending me videos over the past 3 days, and every time I see one, I go, man, this is cool. Michael, what's been your favorite event or part of the reunion so far?
Oh, that's easy, man. Last night, you get the video of Stu Lance on the dance floor.
Oh, not only that, I picked up on it. I don't know how many people did. They flew in Jeffrey Osborne to do a concert for you guys?
Yeah, Jeffrey Osborne's here the whole week. Not just flew it, but he came in for the whole week since Sunday, like everybody else, and he's been involved in all the activities because he is part of Showtime. He's part of the family. And to hear his voice up there again, and he put on a great performance last night for our party, our Showtime party, and it was just magical time. And we got to get him back singing the anthem, man. The fact that he's not singing the anthem to start playoff series is just that's just inexcusable. So he is the voice. He is the singing voice of Showtime, of the Lakers, really. So whenever there's a big event, Jeffrey Osborne needs to be back at Crypto.com Arena to kick off any big game.
Well, he's and I've seen him live 3 or 4 times, and he's just great in a live setting. Michael, you always tell me that in your life experience that Magic Johnson and Pat Riley are two of the greatest leaders in the history of team sports. Does that transfer over to a reunion? Are Riles and Magic still kind of leading the way in something like this?
That's great that you asked that question, because that's exactly what they're doing. Magic is like the MC. He's like the John Ireland. You're a great MC, Ireland. I always tell people that about you. You can lead any event, put you on a microphone. Magic's the same way. He gets up and he speaks first. He tells people what's going on. Then Pat Riley will get up and he'll do his spiel, and he'll talk about bring back memories of certain and tell different stories and what we're going to do next. Or he'll present some video. So exactly that is what exactly going on. Magic and Pat Riley are the spokespeople here. And they do they're both excellent speakers. Magic, I said that to my wife last night, Magic is a great public speaker. And of course, so is Pat Riley. Magic is so smooth on the mic. He reminds me a lot of you, Ireland.
How much are guys talking about the HBO show Winning Time and the Laker Legacy thing, documentary that's on Hulu? Like, you guys are sort of larger than life now.
The Winning Time thing, we're not really talking about that. We've mentioned the Showtime, the Legacy thing a little bit. But we've just been so enamored with talking about how things were so much fun in the 80s with each other and all the experiences we shared with each other. We're mostly talking about that, bringing up those kind of stories. Not so much talking about the HBO series or the thing that's going on Hulu right now. But we're just talking about the good old times and just enjoying around being around each other's company. I tell you, this is really special. It gets you choked up when we see each other. We've each had to stand up in front of our gatherings and speak about our time and what it meant to each one of us to be a member of the Lakers, a member of the Showtime Lakers. And I just thank the Lakers for bringing me along and being a part of all this, and such a privilege. And I talked about Magic Johnson. I told him he's the greatest leader that's ever put on a uniform, not only the way because of what he did on the floor, but because of the person he was off the floor. I mean, like I told him to his face and to a lot of people on the air or behind his back, the way he treats people who come up to him, just anonymous people, just want to see him and shake his hand. So respectful and so inviting to any and anyone who wants to come up and say hello to him. He takes time to say hello to anybody. And being around, as Ireland and I, we travel and we see other players and we see how players can walk by their fans and not even acknowledge their existence. I've never seen Magic Johnson do that to anyone. That's how nice he is. And I commended him on being that kind of a leader and setting that kind of example for everybody who's been around him.
Michael, I've seen two pictures. Two of the pictures you've sent me are you and Kareem. You're not bothering Kareem too much, are you? Has he told you to get lost yet?
I think I am bothering him too much, because every time he sees me, he seems to duck behind somebody or go to the outside of the room. So, you know, I have so much respect and so much love for that guy. I get choked up. I'm intimidated just being around him, just to say hello to him. That's how much he means to me, because he was my idol growing up, and I was a jungle boy in the Bahamas. And to be around him, and Kareem is so inviting and so friendly and so nice. You know, people thought he was aloof. And he was kind of a loner. He might have been back in his 30 years ago. But now, I mean, Kareem is the life of the party. He makes everybody around him feel so welcome. And just to be in his presence, man. Just, you know, like I always say, I know he's just another man, just another human being, just like everybody, just like the rest of us who are listening to us right now. But, you know, like when I was around Bill Russell, it just some people just leave you in awe, even though they're another human being just like you are. And that's how I feel when I'm around Kareem. And poor Kareem, every time I see him, you know, I just want to go touch his cloak, and he tries to get away from me. But he's been patient with me, and he's putting up with my idolatry this week.
All right, so I saw Gary Vitti's over there. Are people making – has anybody turned an ankle or pulled a hamstring yet?
No, we made sure Gary Vitti was here just in case somebody thought that they could have a flashback and do something a little too excessive and violent. But you're right. Having Gary Vitti here too, you're right. I'm glad you mentioned him, because he was the trainer during that Showtime era for the most of it. And having him here too is very special. And you know Gary Vitti, John, nobody can tell a better story than Gary Vitti.
Oh, yeah.
So when he gets up and he starts telling his stories, Ramona, it is a show. It is an event. And he is so great. Him and his wife, Martha, are here. And it's just such a pleasure to be in his presence again.
All right, Ramona, do you know the trivia question about Gary Vitti and the Thompsons?
No.
All right.
Ask me.
So, Michael, you can clear this up if I screw it up, but I think I'll get it right. Gary was a college trainer before he was an NBA trainer. And one of the people he trained was a young volleyball player in Portland named Julie Thompson.
Wow.
She wasn't Julie Thompson yet.
Wow.
But he first met Julie, was her trainer, goes to the NBA, trains Michael. Then one year he's at the All-Star game and he ends up taping Clay. you know, on the ankle.
Yeah.
Say, Michael, I have that right, don't I? That he did three generations of Thompsons?
You exactly have that right. The University of Portland, he was Julie Leslie's trainer in volleyball.
Cool.
Of course, he was my trainer, and he got to be Clay's trainer during the All-Star weekend. And that's why I was hoping and praying that the Lakers would draft Clay, because if that happened, then Gary Beatty could have been the trainer for his mother, father, and for
wow.
the son. How cool would that have been?
Yeah. Well, maybe one day. Michael, I'm really happy for you, and I'm really glad you went. When are you coming back? When does this thing wrap up?
Sunday night we'll be back, unfortunately. We got to come back to reality. We got to close down the
shop. It's a long reunion, though. You guys have been gone a while.
Yeah. You know, that's what we talked about. A lot of teams do this, but it's only for like a one-day event. Magic and Pat Riley put this together for 6 days to make it extra special, 6 or 7 days. That's what makes this so unique and so special from every other team's reunion, because when other teams have a reunion, like Magic pointed out, it's for one day or one night, but ours lasted a whole week. And matter of fact, fellas, we are going to do this. We made a promise. We're going to do this again before we all get too old. We don't want to wait 20 years to see each other again.
Good idea.
For the next reunion. You know where the next reunion is going to be, Ireland?
Bahamas?
That's right. The Bahamas.
Oh!
We're
going to
do the next one.
All right.
Love it.
Well, if I'm invited, I'll show up for that.
Hey, Michael, when you've been around Riles, and I've always been curious about this, as because I didn't know him the way you guys do. Does he still have it, like, as a coach? Like, when he gets up there in front of you and he starts talking, do you feel just like you're in the huddle again?
Of course. And it would be that way if he was talking to not only to us old-timers, if he was talking to players like Ja Morant or Zion Williamson, if he was talking to Steph Curry, if he was talking to Kevin Durant, if he was talking to Anthony Edwards or to Karl Towns, those guys will also have that same reverence for Pat Riley, because that's Pat Riley, man, a legendary coach, arguably the greatest coach in my mind, in my heart, the greatest coach in history. Now, I know Phil's got more championships, and Popovich also has 5 like Riles, but to me, Pat Riley's the greatest coach, greatest leader that's ever coached an NBA team. So whether he's talking to us old-timers or if today's current people like my son Clay, believe me, they know the history of Pat Riley. They have that same kind of respect and reverence for him, too.
Michael, have a safe trip home. Say hi to Julie, and I'm glad you went, and I'm glad it's turned out to be better than you even thought. Have fun there, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad Magic and Riles forced me to come.
It's been worth it. All right, say hi to Worthy for me, will you?
Hey, Worthy was on the dance floor last night singing, like, along with Jeffrey Osborne.
There you go. He's got the world's greatest baritone voice.
That's right. He sounded just like Barry White.
All right, man. Safe travels. Have a great rest of your trip.
I'll see you Wednesday.
All right. There's Michael Thompson, who's in Maui on the Lakers Showtime. Doesn't that sound like
a great trip? You know what's cool when the shows came out, when the Winning Time came out.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of group text messages and people talking to each other about what's in it and how they feel they're being portrayed. And I know the sentiment that went around from a lot of the principals was they can say whatever they want on the show. We're the ones who lived it.
Right. Which is why legacy was important to them.
But also, this is even more real than like legacy's still on camera. What you say on camera is different than what you say at the hotel in Maui when it's just you and your friends. And there's very few groups that in NBA history or in any sports history that have that kind of connection.
And have that kind of success. They went to 9 finals in the 80s. 9.
Wow.
You know, which is unbelievable.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, today it's Momo in Ireland. Ramona Shelburne's in here, and we got some breaking news. We have a Justin Herbert update. Herbert has fractured his rib cartilage and is considered day-to-day. That doesn't sound like it's a couple of days.
No.
Fractured rib
Anytime
cartilage.
I hear the word fracture, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's cartilage, not a bone, so maybe that's not as bad.
I've always thought that rib cartilage, you couldn't fracture cartilage. You can only tear it. Can you fracture cartilage, Bergman?
Say that one more time. Michael sent me a video, so I was listening
okay.
to it.
They say, this report says Justin Herbert has fractured rib cartilage. I thought cartilage could only be torn. Can you fracture cartilage?
I didn't realize that you could, but I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, or just send a text to Dr. Clapper and ask
him.
I don't know, but I'm just hoping. Now, keep in mind, they have a few extra days here because they don't play until a week from Sunday. And even if they wanted to sit him, their next two games are pretty easy. Their next game is against Jacksonville. They could probably win that game with a backup.
So, according to the internet.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got it too.
complete recovery from rib cartilage is approximately 6 months because cartilages are slow to heal since they receive little blood supply. It is advised you rest properly and avoid strenuous activities to allow the body to reduce inflammation. Yeah, that sounds like that sounds like playing.
It sounds like
game.
I'm looking for a new fantasy football quarterback.
Yeah,
because I drafted
sweet.
Justin
you know what, though?
Herbert.
They can they can inject him with stuff that helps that grow faster, heal faster, and then you can put some more pads on. He'll be all right. I say misses a game at most.
It is not uncommon. It is often caused by direct frontal blunt trauma to the sternum. Coastal cartilage fractures are common in high-energy blunt chest trauma and often occur with multiple consecutive rib fractures, which sounds about right.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter's reporting that the team will assess where he's at and determine whether he can practice. So he made some after he did it, he made some pretty big throws there, mm-hmm. but he didn't look like he could breathe. So I thought that was, a little strange. But we'll keep you posted on the status of Justin Herbert. Okay, I wanted to get to this story, Momo, because it's something we spent a lot of time talking about the other day. Phoenix Suns vice chairman and minority owner, Yahm Najafi. Yahm is spelled J-A-H-M. He is the team's second largest stakeholder. Has called for Robert Sarver's resignation. In an open letter to team employees released last night, saying there should be zero tolerance for lewd, misogynistic, and racist conduct in any workplace. Now, this guy's been critical of Sarver since the allegations were first reported by Baxter Holmes by ESPN in November, and is one of three vice chairmen for the Suns, with several other minority investors also part of the ownership group. When I first read this, Momo, I went, okay, now his partners have bailed on him. And then I thought, this may be a power play for the number two guy to take over the number one spot. What do you think's going on here?
So this guy had already filed and already tried kind of a palace coup a couple years ago.
Okay.
So they had a choice of when Adam Silver suspended Robert Sarver for a year of which of the minority owners they were going to appoint to be the team's governor. So the reason why that's important is, let's say Phoenix wants to make a trade and James Jones needs to call and get ownership approval. You've got to be able to go to somebody who's authorized to make that decision. Well, who's in charge now? And Sarver,
they did not pick this guy. They did not pick
Najafi. Well, yeah,
because
he's already seen as a guy who's tried to get rid of Sarver. Now, Sarver owns about 35% of the team. I think this John understands
Najafi.
I think he owns maybe 10 or 15%. It's not very much. All the other owners are much smaller stakes. So Sarver has a majority, has the largest share, but he doesn't even have a majority. Theoretically, if somebody only has 35%, it's not that hard to get him out, to force him out. If you get enough people on the same page, which is why he's sending this letter. And when they appointed a new governor, it was somebody with even fewer shares than Najafi has, but is more loyal to Sarver. So last year when Baxter Holmes' story came out, the first story, there was a letter that went around expressing support for Sarver.
Right.
The guy that the NBA and Sarver appointed to be the acting owner is a Sarver loyalist.
Okay.
Okay? So you see what's going on here? Now, another thing happened was LeBron James tweeted, Chris Paul tweeted, And then the new head of the players union, Tamika.
Who's a woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tamika Tremaglio. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But she just took over from Michelle Roberts last year. She's now come out and said our players want him banned for life. And she said that publicly on Malika's show today, NBA Today. So I think this is about to get really interesting.
Well, let me add another wrinkle to it. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think it could really bring the house down. You did a good job explaining why Najafi might not be the guy who can take him out because he's never been a supporter of Sarver's, and that's just a political battle, and he's the number two shareholder, so he's got a vested interest in Sarver being out.
Right.
But the head of PayPal, the CEO of PayPal, their uniform sponsor, if you watch a Suns game, their uniform sponsor is, you know, says PayPal. Like the Lakers says BBGO.
Uh-huh.
The Suns says PayPal. Has come out and said, Our sponsorship deal, our uniform sponsorship deal, is up at the end of this season. If Robert Sarver is still part of the Suns when this deal expires at the end of the year, we are out. We want nothing to do with this guy.
Yep.
If enough sponsors, Ramona,
that's right,
followed PayPal's lead, I think that's when Sarver doesn't have a hill to stand on.
So I'm always thinking about the anatomy of a scandal and how it unfolds and the timing.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think timing is really important here. The NBA had a choice. There was a report that's being released that they had conducted this big, long investigation. And that report was going to confirm, deny, expound upon whatever of Baxter's story from last November.
Right.
They could have released just the report. And then let everybody dissect it, read it. It's about a 43-page report. Takes a little while to get through. You could probably skim read a lot of the beginning, but like the real specifics matter because mm-hmm. the incidents matter. They could have just released that, seen how it played, and then had the Board of Governors and Adam Silver and everybody else decide that now we're going to do a suspension. But they made the other choice. They released the report at the same time they released the punishment. I personally believe that's a mistake because
they could have monitored reaction had they did it the other way around.
And you're not supposed to matter. That's not supposed to matter, but it does. Okay. Because.
Well, had you seen that two of your biggest stars and now a big company have all going to come out against what you did.
Then. So now it's going to be hard for them to go back in and say, okay, I guess we didn't give them enough unless new evidence comes out, unless they're forced to reconsider. There's something that happens within the Suns shareholder groups. Now something new needs to happen, but you kind of box yourself in by giving the punishment already.
Right. I wonder if Monty Williams or James Jones will say anything definitive about this.
It's media day in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's when they're going to get asked. And I really think, John, this might have died on the vine if LeBron had not tweeted.
Well, not only LeBron, but Chris Paul, who plays for them, and now PayPal jumping into this.
But think about this. LeBron tweeted before Chris Paul did.
Right.
Okay. Chris Paul really should have gone first. It's his team.
And LeBron was more definitive.
And it sort of forced Chris to say something. And then when Chris and LeBron said something, then the union had to they had to.
Right.
Okay. And now it's escalated pressure. And it reminds me a lot of what happened with Sterling. The tape comes out the next morning. LeBron James steps in front of the camera and says, there's no place for Donald Sterling in this league. And then the snowball effect. And I remember thinking when LeBron tweeted that the other day, I was driving up. I was going to Santa Barbara for one night. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is my one mommy night out. Okay.
Yeah.
And I saw the tweet and I went, oh boy.
Here we go again.
Here we go. And also, let's see how powerful LeBron's voice is here. Because he's in a different situation. It's a different context. It's a different story. But he's now put forth that kind of a statement.
And he's
giving who follows.
He's giving other players political cover.
Correct.
if they want to do the same thing. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. But I'm agreeing now with something you said on Monday. Everybody thinks that this story ended when Adam Silver handed down the punishment. It's not over. It is not over by a long shot. I think there is a decent chance Robert Sarver will be out before the suspension ends. But let's see. Let's see if we can figure it out. All right, coming up next. How much do you shower?
A lot. All the time.
Me too. There's an NFL head coach that doesn't shower at all, and he's going to have to change his ways. We've got that for you. And Bobcat right around the corner. We'll get Bergman in here. Momo Informace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, breaking news, and it's good. Bergman, what do you got?
Free agent guard Dennis Schroeder plans to sign a deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. Sources tell The Athletic and Stadium Schroeder is set to return to L.A. per Shams Charania.
Love it. He dropped 19 in the first half in the playing for Germany today in the Euro Championship.
So I just texted with his agent, Mark Bartelsen, who has confirmed that on the record. So that is happening.
Right.
Wow.
Now.
That is like,
all
talk
right,
about
Momo.
Bridges.
Okay, right,
burned
right.
And not burned.
Okay, but wait a minute. Woo. Wait a minute. Let's play this out. Do you think this makes it, does this affect Westbrook, or is this independent of everything that's going on with Westbrook? Or do you think this now makes it more likely they move him, or are we just totally guessing?
I think the Westbrook stuff is out there. The Lakers know what their deals can be for Westbrook at this point. My sense the whole time has been that their best move has been to hold on to him and let him rebuild his value. But each move that you see them make continues to give them more options. Does that make sense? Like,
right.
They don't have
well, that's
to
a word that
now.
Rob likes to use, Rob Pelinka, yeah. Optionality.
Optionality. It's like everything they're doing now puts less pressure on whether they move or don't move him.
By the way, breaking news on ESPN LA is brought to you by Valvoline and Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you and to download up to $15 in coupons. If you're just joining us, and this is big, Dennis Schroeder coming back to the Lakers. His agent has confirmed it. Shams Charania is reporting it. When Dennis was here before, the Lakers offered him $80 million to stay, and he said no. It turned out to be a mistake. When he went back into the marketplace, the most he could get, Momo, was $6 million. And now he's coming back to the Lakers on what I assume is pretty close to a minimum deal. He may be able to get a mini mid-level. Do you know what he's signing for?
I'm finding out. I assume it's a one-year minimum. I assume that.
And I think he's got a chance to play. And like Ramona says, it gives the Lakers more options. You could start Schroeder at point guard. You know he can play with LeBron. You could play Beverly at the two if you lose Russ. And if you keep Russ, Schroeder becomes your backup primary ball handler. And the thing I like about Schroeder is it doesn't matter. He can score if he needs to, but he doesn't have to. It doesn't matter if he scores, and he'll just get the ball to LeBron and AD.
He's looked great in the Euro basket.
In the Euro thing, look at him today. In the first half, his stats in the first – Bergman, see if you can find out what his stats are in that Euro game today.
Yep.
He had 19 points at halftime on like 7-9 shooting. And so I think this is welcome news if you are a Laker fan. And if you're just joining us, Dennis Schroeder coming back to the Lakers where he played 2 years ago, and then he bounced around a little bit, went to Boston, went to Houston,
yep.
And now he's coming back to the Lakers. And
John, like, there's a reason they wanted him in the first place. He has a great skill set to play alongside LeBron. He does. He's a playmaker. He can handle the ball. He can create offense. He's Dennis the Menace on defense. He's looked really good in the Eurobasket playing for Germany. Bet on himself. Did not win. Right? Obviously.
Yeah, but this could be a great
redemption story.
Kind of rewrite the ending. Remember when Derek Fisher left the first time? When he left the Lakers to go grab more money with Golden State in Utah, everybody said, "Wow, he made a mistake leaving." And then he came back and just rewrote the end of his career and went to the finals three more times, won two more titles. Maybe Schroeder, by getting a do-over here, gets a better situation this time. But Dennis Schroeder being signed by the Lakers, and we figure he'll be in camp when it starts in 2 weeks. And now we watch and see what the next move for Rob Pelinka is. And we'll monitor that throughout the rest of the show, and of course all weekend. All right, I asked you about showering. I have to admit, and I've talked about this on the show before, showering to me, Ramona, is my reset. I sometimes shower three times a day.
Yeah.
If I ever work out, play golf, do anything, break even a slight sweat, shower.
Yep.
Mason, don't you get the impression, Bergman, that Mason goes, like, and the reason I'm bringing this up is Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Dolphins, says when he was an assistant, he just buried himself in the work when he was with the Niners and wouldn't shower for 3 days. They'd play a game on Sunday. He wouldn't shower until Wednesday or Thursday. I kind of get the feeling that's what Mason does, Bergman. Would you agree?
I think he comes in and he showers once a week.
Yeah,
when
about,
he comes
about
in here.
That. I think Mace is like Mike McDaniel.
Wow.
Because he doesn't really need – he's not sweating a lot. You know, he's not working out and he's not exercising, you know. But I would find it – like if I go one day without a shower, that would completely throw me for a loop. I would go jump in a lake someplace or jump in a pool someplace. So it just seems – to me, and by the way, the kicker in this story is McDaniel says he no longer thinks he can do this. He says, "I have to shower every day now because I have to meet with the media, and it'll become a thing." So they went to Kyle Shanahan, who was the head coach of the Niners. They said, "McDaniel is telling us that he didn't shower for 3 or 4 days." And all Shanahan said is, "That story is 100% accurate."
Oh, man. Look, when
wouldn't
I was
your
in
friends,
college.
Wouldn't your friends grab you and go, "Hey, man, you got to shower.
You kind of smell."
Like, yeah,
I don't know. There's some people who don't think they smell, but they do. Like, I mean, you know those people who like don't think they
smell?
Well,
there are some guys like Matthew McConaughey, the actor, doesn't use deodorant. There's one of the guys I play golf with that doesn't use deodorant. And all of us are like, don't get in the cart with him. Because if you get in the cart with him, it's going to stink. but we none of us have the heart to tell him, you know, that he's the guy. I
would tell somebody.
Even if you were just, what if it was somebody we worked with here? What if it was Briones?
I would find a way to tell him.
How?
Briones, sometimes you smell.
How well,
I can't even smell, so I believe you.
No, like, I would find a way.
Okay, Jorge comes to work 3 days in a row and he stinks. You've been doing the show multiple times. How would you go about telling him?
I would pull him aside. I would definitely not do it on air.
Okay, and say what?
And I would pull him aside and I would just say, hey, you know, I just want you to know people are like, saying some stuff like, I know you got kids and you're kind of busy and stuff like, you probably aren't even aware of it.
Right.
But just, if it were me, I would want to know.
Jorge, what would your response be?
Geez, well, I'm sorry. I'll try. And, you know, maybe the water bill's a little cheaper next week.
Wait a minute. Ramona, what a better way to handle it would be to buy a speed stick of deodorant and put it right on Jorge's counsel.
I think right talking there. To me would be better than buying something like
and
that.
And not say anything?
Yeah.
Just, hey, who put this deodorant here? It's a hint, you dope. All right, coming up next, Bergman is going to get in here. He's got Bobcat. The last time this week, his Friday Bobcats are normally his good ones. When he unloads all the crap he wasn't thinking about using earlier in the week, he usually brings on Friday. So that's next. Mason in Ireland, Momo. In for Mace, ESPN LA.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. But just so you guys know, if you're just tuning in, Dennis Schroeder has been re-signed by the Los Angeles Lakers for $2.64 million on a one-year deal.
$2.64 million? So that must be his minimum. Okay.
Yep, that is his minimum.
All right, go ahead.
In Juan Soto's last 15 games, he is now 3-47. The Padres are averaging under 4 runs per game.
3-47?
3-47. He has a .063 slugging
percentage. That's worse than Cody Bellinger.
It is awful.
Abysmal.
Wow.
The Padres are also averaging under 4 runs per game during the time, and since the trade, the Pods are 18-19 and fighting to hold a playoff spot over Milwaukee, being 1.5 back. Two questions. How much do you blame Soto, and why do dudes that go to San Diego end up being subpar?
Well, Manny Machado hasn't been. Manny's been good.
Josh Hader.
The guys they traded for this year, Josh Bell, Josh Hader, everybody they traded for this year have kind of bagged it. That shocks me. 3 for 47. Wow. I thought you were going to say like 3 for 20.
No, 3 for 47 his last 15 games.
I know all about how bad he's been because he is on my fantasy baseball team and just killing me right now. Killing me. You can't take him out of the lineup, but oh my God.
You know who has something to do with this is Tatis. Because you can put Manny either in front or behind Soto, but Tatis was going to be the other guy. And now I'm guessing the pitchers have just decided we're not pitching to him.
Well, they walk him, but he's also just striking out.
He leads the league in walks, right?
Yes, yes, by a large margin.
So now he's trying to hit his way out of it, and I bet you he's not seeing any pitches. That shocks me. Now I'm really glad the Dodgers didn't trade for him.
Well, yeah, but they remember San Diego was booing him because all he was doing was striking out and or popping up and walking, and that was it. So, yeah, it's a bad spot for him right now.
Bobcat.
All right, so here's something that I found earlier. Do I have a story on this? No, I do not. So how do you say the woman that Molly is her first name, obviously, okay. on First Take? How do you say her last name?
Kiram.
Okay. I have it. I got it, Jorge. Don't worry. So this is what happened today on First Take.
Talking about pronouncing names, let's do a thought experiment. Could you pronounce my last name for the audience?
Kiram.
No, it's not Kiram. It's Karam.
Karam. Ain't that what I just said, Karam?
It's okay. We've only worked together like 7 years. It's fine. I just want to make sure the quarterback's not offended because we've only been working together for this many years and you still don't know how to say my last name. You know what?
So you guys got it wrong as well.
And I've worked with her. I've done First Take with her. I've met her. And I've heard other people at ESPN say Molly Kiram.
Yeah, well, apparently Stephen A. Smith over the amount of however long they've been.
I was Stephen A. on this. She didn't correct it for years. I've heard people say Kiram.
Do you know that Brian Windhorst is actually Winhurst, and that's how he actually pronounces it, Winhurst. And then Adrian Wojnarowski, we call him Wode. It's Wojnarowski.
It's Wojnarowski, yeah.
Wojnarowski, because it's spelled with a J.
We've been mispronouncing everybody's name.
But I think people who have their names like that are hard to pronounce
are
different.
See, Jorge, you get offended when I call you Julio. Maybe come on.
People just get over it.
Yeah, but it's Molly Kiram. I never knew that it was
Neither
Kiram.
Neither did I. Didn't know it. But she's great, by the way. Oh, super nice, super cool.
And she went right after Stephen A.,
makes it even more fun. Good for her.
Bobcat.
What you got, Jorge?
Oh, so yesterday I was driving. I showed Greg this picture. I'm driving, and I see a pickup truck with writing on the window that says, if you want to send the bride a drink, here's my Cash App. And then she put the account number where you can like send her money so she can buy a drink.
They just got married?
Yeah, they just got married, apparently. Now, would you send somebody, a stranger like that, money if you saw like their Cash App displayed on the window?
Where was this?
On the freeway.
And it's like if I just was
in
married.
In Vegas and I just won money, I've told people before, I'm in full support of young people that get married. I always send, like, if you invite me to your wedding, I will not show up and I'll send you a gift. I might. I don't know how to use Cash App, though.
Neither do I.
Like Venmo, I could figure out.
You know, this feels like an easy scam.
You don't think they even got married?
Yeah. I think I gotta have some if I gotta like know the person and I need to like verify that they really did get married and they like you know what are we gonna do next like the anybody could stand out there with a sign saying like I need food with a Cash App sign like the True. Venmo sign like it just feels like an
Bergman
easy
send
thing
one
to
of
do.
The interns across the street with a sign with a Cash App and let's see if they make any money.
We do not have interns at the moment, but we're not allowed to do that anyway.
I mean, doesn't that feel like so easy?
Brady
to do?
Cates would have done it. He went back to Wisconsin, but when he was here, he would have done it.
It's a good social experiment.
Yeah.
Like you could do it dressed a certain way, not dressed a certain way.
I would send standing there with send Carlo to go do it, but he just got married, so he would keep the money for himself.
Hey, he should write it on the car, on his car.
Yeah,
send
write that.
Money.
Hey,
should
Carlo write that on your car? I just got married. Here's my Cash App, and tell us in a week if anyone sent you any money. All right.
Yeah, we're trying to buy a house.
Yeah,
exactly.
I actually think Carlo did a really smart thing.
It was very smart.
Yeah. He did not register at like. The Knot or anything like that, where you or like Bed Bath and Beyond or Macy's or anything. He said, look, if you want to give us a gift, we're trying to save up money to buy a house. Here's my Venmo. Here's my PayPal. Contribute accordingly. And then so everybody did. Now they got a nice start on trying to buy a house. I thought that was really smart.
I like that.
It was genius. It was a smart move. You know, I think I gave more than Mace did, by the way. Just saying.
Bobcat.
I gave. All right. I gave double what Mason gave.
Wow.
Well, tell me what Mace did. Well, you don't say it on air, but I'll tell you if I gave more, too.
And I thought for sure, because Mason's competitive.
Yeah.
I thought when he found that out that he would simply double his
contribution,
but then he got sick and he hasn't been here.
But at one point he did. He brought Carlo in and was like, how much did he give you? Yeah. And he's like, I want to double it. I want to go over him.
Yeah. No, I told Carlo he should absolutely milk that competitiveness. Because Mason will not. I remember one time somebody was selling Girl Scout cookies. Somebody who works here was selling their daughter was selling Girl Scout cookies. And Mason found out that I bought more Girl Scout cookies than he did. And he immediately outspent me.
Yeah.
That was the bit.
Yeah, you got to.
He's so competitive.
I gave more than Honda.
All right, so which one do I want to do here? Let's do this one. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy is going full not my fault mode, saying in his presser today, Kellen Moore needs to be smarter in his play calling. This is a very un-Sean McVay-like answer, but how do you feel about throwing others under the bus like this?
I don't like it. I love McVay, how he always says that's on me. I got to do a better job. I did a better, I like it when the buck stops with that coach. Like to me, you're the guy who makes the most money. It's on you. That's it.
If I'm the head coach, I'm responsible for hiring and firing the assistants. So I think blaming any assistant for anything is a bad look.
Yeah.
Like if you ask me, Greg, ask me the question that they asked, was it Jerry Jones or was it Mike McCarthy?
It was Mike McCarthy.
All right, ask me the question.
What's wrong with the offense?
Me. I'm not putting us in the right spots, and it starts with me. We're going to get in there. Obviously, we got a rookie quarterback, but the coaching needs to get better. The execution needs to get better, but I'm hoping – really hoping that you're not asking me that again in a week because we've been working on it a lot.
What do you think of Kellen Moore's play calling?
I think it can be better, but that's on me too. I have a headset on. I'm listening to every call that he makes, so I could have overruled it and I didn't. So we've got to get it. We got to get our act together. We got to tighten it up.
That's right. Like you got to take that on. Like this happens to me quite a bit as a writer, where some copy editor will put a headline on a story, or somebody will miss something, and it's my name on the story. That's it.
Yep.
I can explain it all I want, but like ultimately it's my name on the story. I got to own it.
By the way, if Mike McCarthy doesn't win one of these first four games, he's not going to be there anyway.
No.
Done.
They have Dan Quinn in the building, former coach.
Who turned down other jobs.
And who took a team to the Super Bowl. So Mike's days are numbered unless he figures this out.
Bobcat.
All right, so a woman named Trisha Paytas is an OnlyFans model. She just had a baby.
Hi, Trisha.
And she just had a baby and named it Malibu Barbie.
Okay.
Malibu Barbie Paytas.
MB Paytas.
MB Paytas. Yes, that's the right way to put it. Can you think of a worse name for a child than Malibu Barbie? Or do you like Malibu Barbie as
a
name?
I think it puts the kid behind an eight ball, but it depends what they're going to call her. Are they going to call her Barb or
Boo?
Barbara or MB or... like I used to work with...
Boobay?
I used to work with a...
Uba?
A super attractive news anchor who's, I think, still working at Channel 5 named Mary Beth McDade. And we just all called her MB. So they could call this girl MB.
I guess you could, but Malibu Barbie. Like,
yeah, that's a little tough.
You're really hurting your...
Oh, you want to hear the flip side of that? I've told this story on the air before, but I don't know, Momo, if you've ever told it.
Okay.
So this is a story about my friend Rob Steinberg. Shout out. So Rob's son is named...
One of the tribe.
He is. Rob's son is named Ryan. Okay, first son. He has three kids. And so Rob and his wife, Kara, were high school sweethearts, went to college together, got married. They've only ever been with each other, and they have this child, and they said, man, exactly what you said, Greg. His name is, you know, Ryan Steinberg sounds, you know,
very Jewish, yes.
And very non-threatening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was around the time of the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, no.
And Kara says, let's do this kid a favor. Rob goes, yeah? Goes, let's literally, on his birth certificate, name him Ryan Danger Steinberg. And the only reason they did it is so he could tell girls, Ryan's like 25, 30 now, is so Ryan could tell girls, Danger is my middle name.
Oh, my God.
And they don't believe him. He goes, I swear, my parents did it as a joke. And everybody
so
loves
good.
It. Isn't that a, like a really...
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
That's a really cool assist from
yeah.
your parents.
Look,
Danger. Can you imagine if you were Gregory Danger yeah. Bergman?
That is my middle name. I'm not understanding what the problem
and
is.
You could walk out and say, Danger is my middle name. Aren't you mad you didn't think of that?
Okay, both of my sons have cool middle names, I think. So Daniel's middle name is Charlie.
Okay.
That's kind of good.
Yeah, Charles.
Daniel, yeah, but not Charles, Charlie.
Okay.
Okay, so it's kind of cute. Like, I don't know, Charlie. It's after my grandfather, but who was Charles, but
yep.
we went with Charlie. And then Jacob's middle name is Brian. So it's not like, we didn't like double down on the Jewishness.
Bergman, what's your
name?
Middle name?
Adam, which is extremely Jewish.
Gregory
Adam Bergman.
Okay, no,
yeah,
this may be naivete on my part. Yeah. Is Adam normally a name? Like, my best friend's, one of my best
biblical.
Friends is named Adam, and he's not Jewish.
I mean, Adam and Eve.
Yeah, but you know. It.
Adam's Jewish.
I'm very Old Testament with both my names, too. Daniel and Jacob, they're both Old Testament. Yeah.
until you worked here and we hung Momo on you, has your name always to everyone been Ramona?
No, people used to call me Mo growing up.
Okay, Mo. Anybody ever call you Mona?
A little bit. I had a couple people who called me Mona, but mostly people called me Mo, and I hated it.
Right. Well, you hated Momo when we first came up with it.
I liked it.
And then it stuck. Yeah. And I knew it was good when Mason was doing it.
Yeah.
And then I piggybacked off of Mason.
Yeah.
And then you, very early after your run here, went on Zach Lowe's podcast, and Zach goes, Ramona Momo Shelburne.
I know.
And I went,
He did it.
It stuck.
Yeah. Well, because you know what? Momo is what my mom used to call me.
No kidding.
She would go, hi, little Momo. Like, that was like my.
There we go.
You know how you have like names for your kids, like those little, you know, those little pet names. Like for whatever reason, Nevin started calling Daniel Mr. Sauce. I have no idea what that means,
like
but that's what we call him, Mr. Sauce.
All right, Mr. Sauce. Yeah. I like it. All right, Bergman, is that it?
Yep, that'll do it. We got some burgers to give away, right?
Yes, we do. We're celebrating National Cheeseburger Day, and we want you to score for the football season.
I had
two of them.
Well, here, if you don't work in this building and you don't have a pyramid of burgers at your disposal, here's how you can win. Right now. We're doing this now, right, Greg?
This is the time right now.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Caller number 7 wins a $50 gift card to Ralph's, plus a Meat District party pack of Butcher Crafter premium burgers for the tailgate season. Meat District burgers, perfect for your next tailgate party. When we come back, is this a kind patriotic gesture or a ridiculous publicity stunt? I'll put it to you, Momo. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.